A fantastic Friday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Game 6 is here. The opportunity for the Grizzlies to be able to clinch a playoff series win. Why? The ability to do that remains with Ja Morant and Desmond Bane, but also a strong start, plus a few other adjustments to be made for the Grizzlies to get that series clinching win. That and much more on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSEC on Twitter. My co-host, Michael Coe, obviously is on location with the Grizzlies for Game 6 tonight in Minnesota. He certainly will be back with us in the coming days to discuss the fallout from the result that happens in tonight's game. Of course, you can find me at StatsSEC on Twitter, the show at Locked On Grizz. You can find the show also on YouTube. Wherever you listen to your podcast, number one, we're free. Number two, hey, it's a hell of a time anytime you get to talk with us or listen to us. But also right here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button below. We always appreciate the support, the opportunity for others to find the show, and just in general, the interaction. Of course, we want to remind you that when it comes to Locked On Grizzlies, thank you for making us your first listen of the day. Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day. So we now have arrived at Game 6. The Grizzlies up 3-2, coming off another absolutely fantastic ending in which Ja Morant hit a game-winning shot. And for much of the game in Game 5, Ja Morant just simply didn't look like himself, and he was able to conserve the energy to be able to get the job done in the fourth quarter. And that's something that has certainly stood out to me in this series. You know, one of the, you know, we talk about when it comes to playoff matchups, it's fun because you can, when you know that you're going to be watching the same two teams play for at least four straight times, it's fun to get to the levels of breaking down the advantages each team has. But of course, one main narrative, one main focal point for the Grizzlies coming into the playoffs was a big reason why they had had the regular season that they had before the playoffs, and that was Ja Morant and Desmond Bane emerging as one of the best backcourts in the NBA. And the biggest reason why of all is because their games complement each other so well. Again, if we go back to earlier this week, when it was announced that Ja Morant won the Most Improved Player Award, something that stood out to me with Desmond Bane finishing fifth, that was a great illustration of how Bane and Morant playing together, they complement each other so well, but the strengths of their game allow for the other to stand out as well. If Ja's penetrating to the hoop, that opens up the opportunity for Desmond Bane to be free on the outside to hit his threes. And then if Desmond Bane has to be a focal point of the defense, that just leaves lanes open for Ja Morant. And you've seen that so far in this series, right? Desmond Bane averaging 23.6 points per game. Ja Morant averaging 22.4 points per game. Now, overall, yes, I do feel it is fair to say Ja Morant has been limited. Ja Morant has had his struggles in this series. I do think he's still working his way back to 100%. I believe he's just tired. And I believe that his legs certainly are not where they have been for much of the regular season. Nothing of this is a negative towards Ja. It's a simple reality that him and the Grizzlies have to deal with. How do they deal with it? Desmond Bane stepping up. And that's what Bane has done this entire series. 23.6 points, 22 threes from the field, averaging 4.4 threes per game. And he stepped up. He did it on the road in Minnesota, and he has carried the load for much of the early part of games. Though the Grizzlies, through the first three quarters, a lot of time has struggled, especially in the first. We'll get to that in a bit. But my point is that the complementary games of Desmond Bane and Ja Morant, you'd love to see them intertwine all game long, them working off each other all game long to create advantages for the Grizzlies. But in this series, it's been Bane carrying the load for much of the early part of the game with Ja closing as of late. We saw it on Tuesday night. And so that is something that I think is going to be a consistent theme, and it's going to have to step up again in game six. But the difference tonight, I feel, and it's going to be a needed difference, I feel, because I do think the Timberwolves are certainly going to come out with all the awareness and with all the execution that they can muster. Taylor Jenkins discussed he felt the Grizzlies were going to have to play their best game of the season tonight to close it out and get the job done. Because I would imagine that he does strongly feel that the Timberwolves are going to make needed adjustments to get themselves going once again, get themselves going back in the action. The Grizzlies' best answer to that is Ja Morant and Desmond Bain working off each other. And the reason why that is because if the Grizzlies can have Ja and Bain working off each other for most of the game, that then allows for the rest of the team to have the opportunity to work off Bain and Morant working together for opportunities. Because the other big thing that has stood out, though Ja has struggled, and again, we're talking about Morant struggling, yet he's averaging over 22 points in this series. I know that a lot of it has come through the free throw line, and whatever opinion you have on the refs, that's fine. It doesn't deny the fact that Ja Morant has found ways to get to the rim consistently and put pressure on this Timberwolves defense, at least more than he did at times during the regular season. But here's the big key about Morant as well. 52 assists so far in this series as well. 11 performances of 11 assists, 15 assists, 9 assists. The point I'm making is that Ja is finding another way to add value offensively despite the fact that he's not scoring at his normal levels. So, if Ja can start playing his game a bit earlier tonight than he did on Tuesday, Bane can continue his hot shooting. The point I'm getting at is that you put those together, combined with Ja's playmaking, now you have your two best offensive players making their contributions. If the Timberwolves are going to have to focus on those two, that should open up the court for others to potentially have a good game, like a Dylan Brooks. Brandon Clark to continue to have a good game, maybe even getting Jaren Jackson Jr. going. So though at the end of the day, Ja Morant has struggled in this series at times. He struggled all year against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The fact remains that a big reason why the Grizzlies are ahead in this series and have the potential to clinch the series tonight is because of the complementary styles of play of Desmond Bane and Ja Morant. Again, they haven't intertwined that often, as much as Grizzlies fans might like, and as much as they did at times during the regular season, but the strengths of both players have played major factors in the Grizzlies getting wins in this series. The three-point shooting to Bane, the overall ability to get to the rim of Ja, and the playmaking of Ja as well. It's been just enough at times for the Grizzlies to be able to get the job done. Well, tonight, for them to close this out, I would have to feel that the intertwining, for lack of a better way of putting it, of Ja and Bane working off each other at the same time, especially to get off to a good start, that is going to be critical for the Grizzlies to get tonight's victory against the Timberwolves. But beyond talking about folks on the roster, the other big thing that really, really needs to stand out for the Grizzlies, they are having strong finish after strong finish in this series, but they need to have a strong start for once to really put themselves in a position to get their series-clinching victory that they're looking for. We'll discuss that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to talk with you a bit about Built Bar. Now, I've talked about options on the Grizzlies all year long. You've got so many different options you can choose from when it comes to who you need to lead the offense. And thankfully, Desmond Bane has stepped up just as much as Ja Morant in this series. Well, if you like options, and if you want many different options to step up at different times to be a great option for you to go to get a boost of energy and a healthy snack for your day, Built Bar is the way to go. You've got it in puffs. You've got it in bars. You've got many different versions at Built.com with so many tastes to choose from. And if you put in the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Make sure you head to Built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Now, you've heard me talk for weeks that besides the NBA playoffs coming up at the end of April, was going to be the NFL draft. And man, I will tell you what a crazy night if you were a Titans fan. The trade of A.J. Brown, welcoming Treylon Burks from Arkansas. So many storylines. I would highly encourage you to check out the Locked On Titans podcast with Tyler Rowland. But whoever you cheer for, why don't you make sure to check out your favorite Locked On NFL Teams podcast, and with the prospect that they chose, check out that Locked On College podcast. That's the depth of the Locked On family of podcasts, is that whatever perspective you want, you've got it right here. Check out the Locked On NFL Teams podcast of your choice and the Locked On College Teams podcast of your choice as your second and third listen of the day after Locked On Grizzlies. So you've heard me talk about it much of 2022. The fact that one of the Grizzlies' secrets to success have been how outstanding of a start they got in many of their games in the regular season. But the thing that stands out in this series is that that is not translated to this series against the Timberwolves. The Grizzlies have run into many a struggle in the first quarter to the point that so far through five games, the Timberwolves now are at a plus 31 in the first quarter. Now, that's because of a couple of strong performances, one in Memphis to start the series, one in Minnesota, you know, when the Grizzlies visited there earlier in the series. The Timberwolves have gotten off to the better start, and it's taken two very heroic efforts from the team itself in Game 3 and Ja Morant in Game 5 for the Grizzlies to come back. The problem that happens when the Timberwolves get up early is that their ability to continue to shoot the three and the Grizzlies' inability to shoot it to the same level, that becomes a bit more valuable for the Timberwolves' sake when they get those early leads. It's harder for the Grizzlies to come back, theoretically, than it is the Timberwolves early in the game. It's taken Ja Morant or the team just going bonkers when it comes to defensive adjustments to get the job done. But here's some numbers from the first quarter that show why the Timberwolves have established their secret to success to make this series as competitive as it's been so far. It's because of how well they've done early on. For instance, the Timberwolves are tied with the Warriors for the most first quarter threes in the playoffs so far with 22. As a matter of fact, they're shooting 48% from three. The Timberwolves in this series are 22 of 45 from three in the first quarter. It's crazy. You know, we saw that be a reason why the Grizzlies went from being up 13-2 on Tuesday night, down 31-28 by the end of the first quarter, because the Timberwolves were 7 of 11 from 3 in the first quarter. The Grizzlies had no answer, and it shows that's a trend. The Timberwolves' ability to hit threes early is what is giving them the advantage in the first quarter. But it's not just that. They also have 18 more rebounds than the Grizzlies in the first quarter. The Timberwolves are combining, playing their own game, shooting the three, with beating the Grizzlies at their own game when it comes to the board. 18 more boards. Limiting the Grizzlies' ability to be able to get those extra possessions to counter the threes. That's played a big part as well. But in general, it's just that the Timberwolves have been the better, they're showing better execution early in games. They are shooting 52% on their field goals to the Grizzlies, 42%. And that makes a key difference. That's why the flow of the Wolves offense, that's why they've been able to go on those early runs that, you know, are hard for the Grizzlies to be able to deal with so early in the game. That's why they've gotten some Grizzlies, especially Jaren Jackson Jr., into foul trouble. The offensive balance of the Timberwolves has been at its best in this series in the first quarter, and that's made all the difference in the world. And we saw in game one where the Timberwolves' hot start just was not anything the Grizzlies could ever come back and really get over for a long stretch because they kept hitting threes. We saw in game four the same thing. The hot start, the threes continue to fall. The Grizzlies don't have an answer. So the key for the Grizzlies tonight, and Taylor Jenkins talks about it, he'll pinpoint it probably every 3 to 5 games. He hasn't had to do it that much this year because they've been doing it this year, especially the calendar year 2022. But the Grizzlies have to get off to a strong start. Again, when Taylor Jenkins says it's going to take the Grizzlies' best performance of the year to be able to get a series clinching victory tonight, it's going to have to start in the first quarter. But the Grizzlies know how to do it, is the great thing, because they've done it in the fourth quarter all series long. We want to talk about how dominant the Timberwolves have been right in that first quarter. Plus 31 this series so far for the Timberwolves. Well, the Grizzlies, they have a plus 44 in the fourth quarter in this series, including a plus 52. Over the past four games. A big reason why is because of the historic comeback that happened in game three and obviously Ja's fantastic performance in game five. But it's happened multiple times because the Grizzlies have implemented their style of basketball, preventing the Timberwolves from finding success with the Timberwolves' style of basketball. And that is what has led the Grizzlies to these comebacks. For instance, we talked about the fact that the Timberwolves had 8 more first quarter threes than the Grizzlies to start games. Well, in the fourth quarter, the Grizzlies actually have 5 more fourth quarter threes to end games than the Timberwolves. That makes a key difference. At that point, the Grizzlies are beating the Timberwolves at their own game, like the Timberwolves are doing to the Grizzlies in the first quarter. It's a reverse of fortunes, thankfully, in the Grizzlies' favor. But also the big thing about this, we're plus 28 when it comes to rebounds, which has led to 11 more field goal attempts. That makes a difference as well. So not only, again, are we getting more threes than the Timberwolves so far in the fourth quarter, we're playing our own style of basketball to be able to get the field goal attempts. We are finding all the avenues to make it hard for the Timberwolves to overcome us going on runs, and that's why we've been able to come back. But another big key for me, and we want to talk about what coaches are saying after these games. Another big key, the Grizzlies so far in the fourth quarter of this series have 10 more assists than the Timberwolves. Coach Chris Finch mentioned this after game 5. He said, we're playing too much hero ball. We've got to move the ball around to be able to find the best shot possible. Ja Morant said that as well. He said after game 5, the Grizzlies' defense in the fourth quarter, a lot of its success was they were able to keep the Timberwolves from finding high percentage shots. And the reason why is because of hero ball, because the Timberwolves were not effectively moving the ball around. Anthony Edwards said the same thing. He said he needed to swing the ball around. My point is that when it comes to the fourth quarter, which has been the deciding factor in this series so far, the Grizzlies' ability to effectively move the ball has been the difference for them creating advantages over the Timberwolves. Now, can the Timberwolves move the ball around? Sure. You know, we've seen them be able to do it at times. A lot of their three-point attempts have come from effective ball movement to finding the right three-point shooter. But the key is doing it every single time to find the best shot possible. The Grizzlies have been far more effective doing that in fourth quarters than the Timberwolves have. So despite all those numbers that I threw out, the key comes down to this. The Timberwolves are able to play their own style of basketball when it comes to shooting threes and beat the Grizzlies at their style of basketball when it comes to getting rebounds. That's why they're dominating the first quarter. The Grizzlies are able to get rebounds, extra shot possessions in the fourth quarter, but they're also beating the Timberwolves at their own game by having more threes made than the Timberwolves in the fourth quarter. That's why the Grizzlies are winning the fourth quarter. So it seems tonight, one of the biggest narratives to follow, which team is going to have the longer stretch of playing their own style of basketball plus beating their opponent at their style of basketball. If the Grizzlies can find the ability to do that in the first quarter, it'll be a huge boost, and it will go back to Taylor Jenkins' goal of it taking the Grizzlies' best performance of the season so far to get a series-clinching victory. The Grizzlies can do it. They did it all year long in the regular season. Now, and they have the formulas of success of how to do it from how they played in the fourth quarter. Now it's getting the energy and the focus up to get the job done. Just a moment, we're going to focus, like that segue. I know, king of segues. I'm kidding. We're going to focus on the fourth, or on tonight's game 6. What adjustments can the Grizzlies make to really be able to get the job done in Minnesota? But before we do that, I want to talk with you a bit about betonline.net. Now, so many things to bet and wager on right now. Baseball, obviously the basketball playoffs, the NFL draft, hockey, boxing, UFC, whatever you choose to wager and bet on, BetOnline is the place for you. And here's the reason why. It's not just that. It's a very simple and easy to use website, whether it's your mobile device or your laptop. It's fast and simple. You're not going to have to waste a bunch of time trying to make your bets at betonline.net because it allows for you to be able to make your picks simple and easy. If you check out betonline.net, also check out the Vegas casino games. The fastest and the easiest way for you to bet on all your sports action, check out betonline.net today. Obviously, it's going to be a quick turnaround this weekend, as regardless of what happens in the Grizzlies game tonight, if reports are correct, the Grizzlies will likely be playing their next game on Sunday. And as I mentioned on Twitter, I'd much rather be facing the Warriors in Game 1 than the Timberwolves in Game 7. The point is, though, make sure you check out the Locked On Grizzlies podcast tomorrow. Live reaction to Game 6. We'll certainly discuss all the fallout from Game 6 and whether the Grizzlies are going on to the next series or they're preparing for a do-or-die Game 7. All that on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So at the end of the day, the two themes to me that stand out in this series. When the Timberwolves are hitting threes, and coupling that with Karl Anthony Towns being an effective force inside the arc, they are playing winning basketball. When the Grizzlies can stop the Timberwolves from having one of those things happen or stop both at the same time, the Grizzlies are able to play basketball. Take game five, for instance. In game five in the first quarter, the Timberwolves were 7 of 10 from 3, or 11 from 3. In the three quarters after that, the Timberwolves were 7 of 22. The Grizzlies made adjustments to limit the Timberwolves' overall ability to shoot the three. Now, as the Timberwolves were struggling in the second and third quarter hitting the three, Karl Anthony Towns was there to help out by getting to the line, being a force inside, what have you. But then with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, when Jaren Jackson Jr. fouled out, the Grizzlies put Dylan Brooks on Karl Anthony Towns, and he was able to stick with him and put Towns in a lot of situations where he was having to make decisions while he had players swarming to him if he were to put the ball on the court. You're getting Towns thinking. And that led to less than effective production. Only a three-pointer made by Towns in the final 7 minutes of the game was a huge factor in the Grizzlies getting a win. So at the end of the day, number one, uno importance. I think I just made that up, but we'll be fine. Of most importance for the Grizzlies, stop at least one of the Timberwolves getting hot from three or Towns being dominant. If you could stop one of those things, I think that your chances of winning are very good. Obviously, the other big thing is Jaren Jackson Jr. simply staying on the court. And I know that we keep saying this. It seems like it should be an easy concept. The players themselves, obviously, it seems, have started to talk to Jaren as well about it. But the other key thing is this. Who starts with Jaren? Personally, I'd go with Kyle Anderson. To DeMichael's point the other night, if you go with him, as important as Brandon Clark is in this series, you don't want Brandon Clark to risk driving up his foul rate if you have to sub him in early because Jaren Jackson Jr. is in foul trouble. But the reason I would start Kyle Anderson also is this, is it goes back to a couple of things. Number one, with Kyle Anderson on the court, I still think that the Grizzlies are likely at their best when it comes to their defensive ability because of Kyle's overall versatility. He can guard Ant, he can guard Cat, communication, rebounding, all those things. Turnover ability, Kyle Anderson has been a big part of this series as well, especially on the defensive end. But start Kyle Anderson. And what that starts is, it starts your waves of different skill sets that you're going to throw at Karl Anthony Towns. Throw Kyle Anderson at him. Throw Jaren. Throw Brandon. If you want to play Xavier Tillman a few minutes, throw Xavier Tillman. Even throw Dylan at times just to try to confuse Karl Anthony Towns or frustrate him. The more the Grizzlies can get Karl Anthony Towns thinking and trying to play make, the better off they're going to be. If Karl Anthony Towns is initiating the Wolves' offense in any other way but him scoring, that's an advantage for the Grizzlies. And that's nothing against Towns' ability to score or anything. I don't mean that as a negative against Towns, just that playmaking is not a strong part of his game. And the more he has to do that, the more it favors the Grizzlies. But throwing waves of different skill sets when it comes to roster members of the Grizzlies to Towns, I think that that prevents him from being balanced. And I think, again, it makes him think. And that will really be a huge part of the equation for the Grizzlies. And I'll repeat it again. Talked about it on yesterday's episode. Talked about the fact that the Grizzlies, when it came to their rotation, who can they add as that eighth man? I would certainly try to throw combinations in there where DeAnthony Melton is playing a part. If DeAnthony Melton can come in, make a few threes, cause a few turnovers, that could be the difference in the game for the Grizzlies. Absolutely could be. It's probably not going to happen. But it absolutely could be if he's utilized correctly. Taylor Jenkins has done a very good job when it comes to his lineups as the series has gone along. He's made good adjustments to be able to put the Grizzlies in a position to win the series tonight. But here's the biggest key of all for me. Doing whatever the Grizzlies can to play Ja, Desmond, Dylan, Brandon, and Jaren as much as possible. When that lineup plays in this series, the Grizzlies are able to get the advantage. They did it on Tuesday, coming back in the second quarter to keep the game close until they were able to take over in the fourth quarter. But that's the thing. throw out all the numbers, throw out all the different scenarios, throw out however deep you want to get into the stats. It comes down to playing your best players. That's what's led the Timberwolves to a couple of their wins. The Grizzlies playing Ja, Dillon, Desmond, Brandon Clark, and Jaren. Play that lineup. Good things will happen. But, of course, it starts with Jaren Jackson Jr. establishing himself early without getting into foul trouble. It's going to be a lot of fun. So many of the same narratives, so many of the same advantage points, so many of the same focuses that have played out in the first five games of this series are going to play out tonight. But a strong start from the Grizzlies, especially Ja Morant, will be the greatest thing to allow for them to be able to get their fourth win and clinch a series win for the franchise. Again, we'll have all the reaction for you on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Until then, enjoy your day. Enjoy the NFL draft. Enjoy some baseball. But more than anything, get ready to hopefully celebrate an important Grizzlies win tonight against the Timberwolves. We'll be back to talk with you tomorrow here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.